Welcome to Off the Bench NRL with Scott Sattler and Jason Matthews. All the footy news and views you need to get through the weekend.
Welcome to Off the Bench for round one of the National Rugby League. And it started off with a bang, of course, last week. It was an adventurous week, wasn't it, in the world of the NRL. There was Vegas, of course. There's allegations to come out of that. Injuries in round one to key players before their team is even kicked off for this round. And round one on the Australian shores as well, and an upset to open the campaign for the season 2024 for the Canberra Raiders and the Newcastle Knights clash on Thursday night. Daddy, how are you?
G'day, mate.
He's going to join me here today. Woogie's away. He's in Bali. I think it's the second time in 5 or 6 weeks. I think the federal police need to be red flagging him. Definitely. He said he was going to...
Surprised he's allowed to go by the missus.
Well, he didn't actually last time. We told him to... Because you can hire a monkey over there.
What?
Yeah, and you can follow you around.
What?
You can follow you around and you just feed it and take it to the bars and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, right.
So, but I don't think he'll do it this time either.
The Darren Lockyer special.
Yeah. Yeah, throughout the show, we're going to have a really good interview with Marcelo Montoya, New Zealand Warriors winger. We caught up with him during the week, myself and Matty Rogers. He's a fine young man. He's playing great rugby league at the Warriors. Both he and Dallin Martini-Zelezniak have got a tremendous partnership for the Warriors, and let's hope that they can try and retain that top four position. Do you have them in top four?
Who?
The Warriors. You're a Broncos man, so you've got them taking up one spot. Penrith, obviously, another spot.
No, I don't think the Broncos will make the top four.
Okay.
Yeah, based on what I saw last week.
That's round one. Don't worry about round one.
I don't know, Sats. I think the Warriors will be, I think they'll come third.
Yeah, I think they'll be up there about with Roger Tuivasa-Sheck.
Yeah.
Back in rugby league.
I think the Roosters will be around there this year.
Yeah.
And the Panthers as well.
Roosters will be really difficult. And we're going to talk about what happened on Thursday night rugby league. We're going to talk about Vegas as well. So we might as well get into that now.
Time on Off the Bench to look back on the news of the week.
Well, I suppose everything that has been taking up most of the news cycle throughout the week has been the Vegas project. It was bold. It was courageous. I've got to say... The NRL taking the game there, many questioned it, but I've got to say, I think it convinced the greater masses that was a resounding success. Now, we are going to talk about the allegations with Spencer Lenu aimed at Ezra Mam as well, and he has since come out with an apology through the club. But in saying that, to focus on the event as a whole, absolutely outstanding. I've got to say, hats off to Fox Sports. They really owned the whole week in Vegas with the shows, the magazine shows coming back on, which is the Matty John show, the NRL 360, all their journos over there in the street, giving as much coverage as possible back to the Australian fans, people who couldn't be over there. I've got to say, I was one of these. I was going to sit back and just watch how this played out and see whether it was going to be something worthwhile going to in following years. And I've got to say, I think in the following years, it's going to get even bigger. Now, two great games. A lot of heavy legal contact, which is great. There was a lot of blood, which I'm not sure whether Peter Vlandis and Andrew Abdo said to the broadcasters, if you see one drop of blood, we want every camera angle in the face of that player. The referees allowed the game just to flow, which is great. Record numbers watching the two games on Fox Sports. Wasn't so many in the US. Apparently on that Fox Sports one, there were 61,000 people only in the US that watched it, but... Guess what? It's 61,000 people that we would have never had any, would have never watched the game, who are now talking to their friends about this game called the NRL.
Yeah.
Matty John's made a really good point. Don't call it rugby league because people will call it rugby. Are you in America? They use acronyms. They want it dulled down. So it's NBA, NFL, call it the NRL, and they won't call it rugby. So, and the celebrations most nights before and after in Vegas, I've got to say, I was envious. I had a lot of FOMO. So I got to say year two with just over 40,000, just under 41,000 people, I think there'll be over 50,000 people there next year. I think more English fans will travel. Apparently there's a lot of English fans over the Northern English fans. Where Northern England is really, Daddy Vass is really strong for rugby league. It's where rugby league started. And there's a lot of Northern English fans over there. A lot of jerseys in the street for teams that weren't even participating in the Vegas doubleheader. Yeah, a lot of Newtown jerseys, a lot of North Sydney Bears jerseys, those sorts of things, which is great to see. And, of course, out of the weekend, unfortunately, we tried to sway away from the negativity of any event, but this was too big. The allegations levelled against Spencer Lenu by Ezra Mam and the Brisbane Broncos players. Now, there will be a hearing on Tuesday, and he was referred straight to the judiciary. I'd never heard of a player pleading guilty before you're getting referred straight to the judiciary. You've just got a front, usually. But he has pled guilty, contrary conduct, and we're not knowing what the precedents will be. I think a lot of the precedents that have been set before, they're all null and void now. We've had some sentences over the years on players which were just so far over the top. Like the Mitchell Pearce one, for example, $125,000 fine and, what was it, 8-week suspension. I mean, that was way over the top for an off-field incident. So I think the precedences have sort of, I think they've started again, to be honest. A lot of those, I think, have been swept under the carpet. I think we need to start again. But hearing on Tuesday, he's pled guilty. As I said, he has since come out and apologised on Thursday through the club, through a statement through the club. It wasn't Spencer. And I think that's a smart thing because Spencer's not, as we heard straight after the game, he's not great with the media. He's a young player who's never had a lot to do with the media. It's not his fault. He's a fresh kid from Western Sydney who's never really worried about the limelight. And because he's a big signing to the Roosters, he will have to do a lot more media interaction. But this is what happened straight up. These are back-to-back interviews, one with Brent Reed and one with Danny Wilder, straight after full-time of the clash in Vegas.
Obviously, great result, but I've got to ask about what happened in the second half, the racial complaint. Can you tell us from your view what happened?
Nah, nothing. It's just all fun and games on the field, and that's it.
You're not too worried?
Not worried at all. Yeah, you know, it's just a little bit of banter on the field, and, you know, whatever he wants to do with it, he can come see me after if he wants, but, yeah.
Did something happen, or...?
Nah, I don't know. It's just all fun and games on the field, you know, a little bounce on the field, but if there's anything, I'm here. If they want to do anything, we stay in the same hotel, so... I'm right there.
Yeah, that's an adult that is immature when it comes to handling the media. What I will say, and what I did say throughout the week, Daddy Vass, and is that the Roosters, who are usually really diligent at everything they do, they didn't lock him down straight away after the game. The Brisbane Broncos, they grabbed Ezra Mam, and we saw a vision of Broncos staff getting Ezra off the field. Now, he was visibly upset. From all reports in the dressing sheds, visibly upset, people having to console him. And that was mainly based around, I thought this stuff had gone out of our game. I didn't think we'd still got it in society, but I thought rugby league wouldn't stoop to that low. There is, at the time of this going to air, our show, there's no audio per se that can hear any of the comments that have been made, but there is vision on the field when Payne Haas is playing a ball back to Billy Slater, Billy Walters, and Spencer Lenu is at marker, and you can see he is saying something in the direction of Ezra Mam, who is to his right back in the attacking line. And as they play the ball and Billy Walters passes it, Billy Walters sort of half point chases Spencer Lenu and is saying something to him on the field. He's taken offense to something. What we don't know, but the Brisbane Broncos players, Payne Haas and Billy Walters, from all reports, are willing to give evidence next Tuesday. I don't think they'll have to now that he's pled guilty. And I think the Roosters would have said to him, if you go to the judiciary next Thursday and make a plea on the night and you plead not guilty, Broncos players will give evidence. They may find audio. We're not quite sure. They would have told the Roosters they had audio if they had it. Mm. So you could be on the end of a bigger suspension, Spencer. If you plead guilty, you don't hear from any witnesses. You don't hear a lot of the evidence. They will give you a suspension based on what they've charged you with. So that could be anywhere from 4 to 8 weeks. Now, I'll ask you and the listeners who are listening to this now, you can only probably give yourself your own answer to this. Because he's apologised, do you think the judiciary and the rugby league public probably need to be a little bit more lenient on him?
No, I think they're more fired up with the apology.
Why, because it's so late in the week?
Yeah, and it might not be his own doing. You don't know.
Mm.
I think until he is face-to-face with Ezra,
that's
a proper apology in my eyes. That's taking the emotion out of it as a Broncos supporter. But if you say something like that and you see how much it affects someone, you don't call them out in the car park after the game. You go up and apologise.
That's immaturity, and that's adrenaline pumping, and that's Spencer Lenu again being a young kid who's won multiple grand finals now with the Penrith Panthers, but he hasn't had to do a lot with the media because he's had all those superstars at Penrith who have really just, they've dominated the media cycles because they're the go-to people. There are some people in the game that we know in media that we just don't talk to because, one, they're not experienced, two, they don't have a lot of clarity in what they want to say, they're not used to it, and sometimes you wait until they're sort of like 26, 27, they've spent a fair few years in the game, they've learned a few things from their teammates, they've had a bit of media training. That's another thing. Throughout the week, listeners, we had a lot of text messages on our sports day with Sats and Rat, and a lot of people saying, I don't cop this because all NRL clubs would give them quite advanced and intense media training. That's the perception. It actually doesn't happen in great detail. It's the players themselves that go to the media managers and say, I want to do more media, and the media managers will do more work with them, or they'll give up their time, and like a lot of current players do, like Wade Graham and Aaron Woods and those sort of guys, they go and Kieran Foran, who's going to be doing a fair bit of work with us in 2024, they actually give up their time to go and actually learn how to handle the media a lot better.
Sats, we had one caller during the week on Sports Day, and they made a really good point. They said, look, my parents never had to teach me how to be respectful, you know. And that's without any media training, that's without going to school, that's without anything. You just, at the end of the day, you know how to be respectful.
Yeah, but there's some cultures that haven't had that upbringing. There's some cultures that have faced a lot more hardships than we have, and probably a lot more racism
Diversity.
Than we have. We had another caller throughout the week, listeners, on Sports Day, if you didn't hear it, that actually said, a guy rang up and he made a point that a lot of other people have actually said to me. You've got two Islander young men. One has sledged another Islander man. Is that actually racism? Well, it is, because Ezra comes from an Aboriginal and Torres Strait background, and Spencer Lenu is Samoan. Two completely different nationalities, two completely different cultures. So, yeah, it actually is still a form of racism, the comment. Now, Spencer has come out and said, yes, I said it in his apology, but I didn't say it in a racist way. I don't have a racist bone in my body. And I think a lot of people that know Spencer from Penrith would actually say the same thing.
You know, well, Ivan Cleary said that.
He's probably not racist. He's probably faced a lot of racism himself, being a young Samoan kid coming from a big family that, you know, is coming from Mount Druitt, and a lot of times people look down on people that come from that region, which they shouldn't be ashamed of coming from a region like that, because they're hardworking people who've provided a lot of really, really good people when it comes to sports, some really good sportsmen and women. So, yeah, he's probably faced some racism himself. I don't think he's got a racist bone in his body, but at the heat of the moment, when you're under pressure and you're not intelligent enough and experienced enough to, one, let whatever's troubling you go away, or if you're going to say something that's intelligent, that has nothing to do with race or any homophobic slur, whatever it may be. But when young players are under pressure, sometimes the easiest thing to go to is something that is derogatory in some ways. And he'll learn.
He could have said, you lost the grand final and you're going to lose this one.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah. There you go. That's intelligent. That's an intelligent sledge.
Okay. You may score three tries then, but you're not scoring three tries today, mate.
Yeah. So, there's going to be more to play out with this. And we're going to have a lot more on Tuesday night. And I think it'll probably go late into the night. Hopefully during Sports Day, they'll have a decision and we'll be able to communicate that to the listeners as well. So we've got round one. For the rest of round one, which is on Australian shores. Well, not really Australian shores. I suppose the Warriors are hosting the Sharkies.
Can't wait for that one.
Yeah, I think it's the match of the round, to be quite honest. And, of course, we've got the Dolphins hosting the Cows, rounding out the Sunday afternoon game at Suncorp. Now, the AFL were very strategic in taking their round one games to Sydney and Queensland to try and combat the lack of games in Sydney and Queensland because of the Broncos and the Roosters and Penrith and everyone playing last week in Vegas. But starting a game in Newcastle, which is 22,000 people, and then a game in New Zealand, which is a sellout, and then finishing off with a game at Suncorp in Brisbane. I think the NRL won round one of the Code War.
Definitely.
Yeah. Let's get to a break, and after the break, we will have a look at the round one match between the Newcastle Knights and the Canberra Raiders at McDonald Jones Stadium.
More Off the Bench NRL soon. Subscribe to the podcast so you never miss a moment. Search Off the Bench NRL on iTunes or Spotify. Welcome back. This is Off the Bench NRL with Scott Sattler and Jason Matthews. All the footy news and views you need to get through the weekend.
Big hit, Daniel Saifidi. Absolutely rattled the Savage Cage.
Ponga goes past one over the halfway line. Kalen links up with Gamble. Tyson Gamble heading for the try line and scores the try. But Kalen Ponga, take a bow.
I'm going all in with my chips for no try.
Oh no.
On the halfway mark. Oh, my chips are all in. Got to know when to fold them.
Yeah, we had to know when to walk away. Oh, what about the shoulder charge too from Hudson Young, if you don't mind?
Yeah, I think we've just seen that for the first time. So let's make sure here that Hudson Young can effectively get put on report maybe. That's late and potentially a bit high from Hudson Young. Here we go. He's going to get caught out, is he?
He's got to get this out of his game, Hudson Young. Seriously.
Oh,
that's wow. 10 in the bin.
I agree with that, Joel. And we've got the referee now talking to Hudson Young.
But he's looking around like, well, what have I done? Hudson, you've put a pumpkin on your head. You're about to let your team down, and you're going to get sent for 10 in the bin. And you're probably going to lead the first try to Newcastle. It is moronic what you've just done. Here's the kick. Crossfield kick. Mazu leaps high. Hosking the mule leaps high. And when you're down a man, a kick will help. And Hosking gets one for Canberra. Down to 12 men. The number 12 scores. Canberra 6-0 the host plus scoreboard with a kick to come. Here come the Knights. They trail by 8. Fogger. Flat pass. It's a dubious pass. Frizzell. He got it from Tyson Gamble. The pass was very, very flat. But Tyson Frizzell strolls over where Hudson Young may have been. And they score the try. 8-4 Canberra leading the Newcastle Knights. The Knights with a kick to come. 100 remaining in the first half. He looks likely, doesn't he? Pasami Sorlo.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
And Jack release. That's Hetherington. Here comes Zami Harb. And it is through Levi who cashes in on the strong run from Pasami Sorlo. Levi gets the 4 points. But in some world, Sorlo should get the try assist. And Canberra are about to go up 14-6. That comes away from Starling. And Hosking finds Cottridge, who's been kept pretty quiet. But that's a valuable pass that picks up 10 metres. 42 away. Crucial set in the match for New Farm. Around the ground we go. For Chemist Warehouse, here come the Demons. 51-50. At the end of the third quarter, here's a kick. They're going to target Gagai. Gagai's going to let it bounce. It comes away to Hopewadi. Then the pass for Savage, who's quick. Acceleration was Savage. And they extend out 18-6. And what a massive kick coming up for Jamal Fogarty to take the Raiders out by 14. Here's Fogarty, an important kick for the touch. I missed it. Hooks it left. Starling gets the ball back and tries to
go
through. Emre Guler thought he was through. Here's a chance on the back foot, Smithies. Here's Ethan Strange. He gets it away to Hopewadi. Hopewadi gets Rapa in the corner. And the Raiders are tucking the Newcastle Knights into bed. Left-hand side now. Cogger, Hastings. Hastings takes them on. Strolls through. Strolls through. There is a little time. It's about to be 22-12 with 4.5 minutes remaining on the Makita clock. That is going to kill it in the corner here. Well, that's what we're playing. I think Fogarty was happy for him to go to the corner.
Good score.
Emre Guler away now. Chance. Hosking deserves one. Goes back inside and they plant the ball down. Hudson Young. Canberra Raiders the first up victory. The Ricky Stewart ambush is complete. Full time. Newcastle have been destroyed rather.
Well, there it is. All the action from Thursday night. Round one for the NRL. First game in Australia and an upset in the minds of most. 13+, the Canberra Raiders going to McDonald Jones Stadium in front of 22,000 Novocastrians. We knew it was always going to be a lot of fans at the game, but the Raiders, well, they spoilt the party, didn't they? 28 points to 12. Well called there by the SEN League team, made up of Joel Kane, Noddy Kamali, and also Spud Carroll. Now, but you've got to expect it from a Ricky Stewart coach side, haven't you?
Defensively, on the edges too.
They're just tough. Oh. They're in your face. They've got so much intensity all the time. That kick chase of the kick chase that they put on Greg Marju.
Josh Papali'i.
And it was Tom Starling got underneath the ball. Papali'i came, finished him off into the in goal. I mean, that was...
They're too casual there, the Knights.
Well, that was... I suppose that was a window into the soul of both sides. I think the Newcastle Knights thought, well, we've got the home crowd opening round.
There's a few boys
we beat
out
them
here
in the finals last year. They've got a heap of injuries. Sebastian Chris and Elliot Whitehead and co that aren't playing. Mm. And then, honestly, it was shell-shocked. I was shell-shocked, I've got to say. They also 12 men for a period of time, the Canberra Raiders.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got some thoughts on the match?
Well, mate, that no try to Kalyn Ponga.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that.
That was the big point of the match for me. I think if that try was awarded...
That was the Newcastle Knights' first try with Tyson Gamble.
Yep.
Midway through the first half.
And I saw that and I thought, geez, the Knights are going to go on here. They're going to recapture that form of late last year. They're going to stroll down and KP's on.
Yeah, I thought just to start the season off, we had great refereeing performances last week. That was a horrific call, I thought. Now, that was, just to remind the listeners, it was Kalyn Ponga, who hadn't done much throughout the game, kick return, just bust two defenders, gets into the backfield.
Electric.
Positions Tyson Gamble, gives him the ball, runs 40 metres, scores under the post. Now, while all that was happening, I think it was Danny Levi was coming across to try and get Kalyn Ponga or Tyson Gamble, and he runs into Tyson Frizzell.
Yep.
And the referees are saying, no, well, Tyson Frizzell's ahead of the ball. Canberra player's trying to get to the man who's got the ball in his hand. He didn't have the opportunity to make a tackle, so no try. Nah.
He did it on purpose.
Tyson Frizzell's coming back onside from a kick return. Where else has he got to be?
Yeah.
So, and when you look at the replay again, the bunker referees should be smart enough to know the body language of a player that they were using Tyson Frizzell to try and get the penalty. Mm. They succeeded. Well done. But it's not a good look for the game because that should have been try wonder to the Newcastle Knights.
Canberra go down, they get a penalty goal.
Zach Hosking scores.
And then Zach Hosking scores. So it's a 12-point turnaround.
That was the same movement also where Hudson Young was sin-binned. Kalyn Ponga passes the ball after he's hit by Jordan Rappin. And as he spun around the tackle, Hudson Young is chasing. And slow motion, it doesn't look good. Hudson Young's shoulder comes in contact and he's... head slams into the ground when he hits the ground with momentum. Kalyn Ponga, play it in fast motion. There's nothing Hudson Young could have done. We're all expecting the players to be able to be in the frame of mind where they can react in an absolute split second. There's so many moving parts that sometimes I think we get some of the calls wrong around that as well.
Mm.
Yeah. Danny Levi was great for... the Raiders, some players that also stood out was Morgan Smithies from Wigan in the UK, his debut game.
The lock.
He was outstanding, his work rate. Hudson Young, again, was great. He needed to do something for his side after going to the sin bin. Jordan Rappiner was outstanding. Jamal Fogarty steered the team with his kicking game. Young Ethan Strange at six was really good as well. And as we said, Zach Hosking's a new Panthers signing. He's going to be really good for them, actually.
Levi left the field there.
Yeah, they had a lot of injuries, the Raiders, so they did it really tough. They had to change a lot of the positions around, some players playing out of position. The Knights, before you get to the break, no cohesion. I think they got some selections rock, picking Gamble at six. I think he's a 14.
Mm.
And they've got a premiership player in Jack Cogger, who was a big reason why the Panthers ended up winning that grand final last year when Luai went off. Picked him on the bench and used him as a hooker. It was ineffective.
Just quickly, Kai Pierre-Paul.
Kai Pierre-Paul. He's a good player.
What do you think of his?
Yeah, he's a good. He's. I watched a lot of him in the UK Super League.
Mm.
He's going to be a really good player. A very Viliami Kikau-like.
Big
Six
body.
6'5" and good on his feet. And they dominated in every aspect of the game, the Canberra Raiders, and took Ponga out of the game. I think the only ones that can put their hands up for the Knights would be probably Tyson Frizzell and maybe Jacob Saifidi. I think Jackson Hastings tried hard as well. So, but, yeah, back to the drawing board for Adam O'Brien as they lead into round two next week. Don't go anywhere, because after the break here and off the bench, New Zealand Warriors winger and all-time good bloke Marcelo Montoya joins us on the show.
More Off the Bench NRL soon. Subscribe to the podcast so you never miss a moment. Search Off the Bench NRL on iTunes or Spotify. Welcome back. This is Off the Bench NRL with Scott Sattler and Jason Matthews. All the footy news and views you need to get through the weekend.
Right, everyone I talk to about our next guest on Sports Day cannot speak highly enough of him,
not only
as a player, but off the field as well. I was fortunate enough to be at the Warriors presentation not last year, met him for the first time officially, and he's an impressive young man. 117 NRL games for the Doggies and his mighty Warriors, and he forms one half of one of the most exciting wing combinations in the NRL. And I've got to say, great name as well. Sounds like a Spanish bullfighter.
Yeah, he does.
On the line for Sports Day is Marcelo Montoya from the Warriors. How are you, Marcelo?
Hey, fellas. I'm really good. Thank you. And thank you for having me on the show.
Pleasure, mate.
A privilege. Love you, boys. So thanks for having me on.
No, thank you very much for taking time. Now, Andrew Webster, who's a mighty impressive man, he's his first full season as a head coach. What has he said to the playing group coming back in for the preseason? You know, what sort of the messages has he given you to make sure that 2023 just wasn't a flash in the pan year for the club?
Yeah, I think, like when Webby came back, obviously after last season, he obviously said that it was like it was good for us to recognise what we had done last year, but also not settle. Like, we haven't really done much, to be honest. Like, you know, yeah, we made top four, but we haven't done what some of those, you know, kind of top four teams, or, you know, like those Penrith, those Melbourne Storms, and you know, teams like that have, you know, like been able to win a comp and do it, but also kind of sit up there for a long period of time. So, you know, we know that, yeah, what we done last year was good, and I know we got the nation behind us, but we haven't really, you know, done too much. So he kind of humbled us in that sense, and just told us that we had to work harder. You know, if we wanted to be there again this year, you know, it's not going to present itself. We've got to make sure we go there and work really hard, and we've done that in the preseason, and you know, we're looking forward to Friday, like I said. So yeah, he's been fantastic for us, Webby, you know, in terms of acknowledging those kind of things, but also keeping us very humble.
Yeah, nice one. He's a great man, Webby. We've had him on a few times. He's one of the best. He's one of the most well groomed coaches we see.
His hair's perfect.
He must get a haircut every week. Do you know if he does? Like, he seems to be looking very sharp every time the camera flashes up on him.
He does, mate. Like, and you boys know what it's like being a player. Like, you boys know what it's like being a player. And more so these days, you know, we're going out for a fade every kind of second week. Well, I know most boys are going out for a fade every week, but Webby, mate, he's on top of things. Like, he knows, you know, when the camera's on him, he knows, so he makes sure he's in good nick. But, he's definitely, mate, like, he definitely looks after himself.
Yeah, very good. Right. Now, Marcelo, I've seen you play for Fiji, so I obviously knew the Fijian heritage. But you've got a Chilean father. Was it always rugby league for you, or did he ever try and push you into soccer?
Yeah. So I'm the youngest of four boys, and all my older brothers, I kind of played rugby league since we were young, and I wanted to play soccer, but they kind of forced me to play league, and I fell in love with it, man, since I was 5 years old. But my old man, you know, he was a big fan of all kind of sports. But he kind of just let me do what I wanted to do. But, yeah, like you said, being from that South American heritage, you would have thought, you know, I would have went down the route. But, my older brother's kind of forced me to play league. But, man, I've loved it, like, ever since I was a young fellow, and even now I'm still loving it.
What about the Fijian heritage from your mum's side? Now, I only tried Carver for the first time 2 years ago, Marcel, and I've got to say...
Numb tongue?
Oh, a numb tongue, and I hallucinated as well.
Oh, wow, you got the rest good of stuff.
So when you're, like, around some of your the Fijian mates and some of the Fijian rugby league players and in camps, does the Carver flow freely when you're in camp?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, obviously, my father was Chilean, but mum's Fijian, but the way we were kind of raised and the way we grew up was like the Fijian kind of way. And So when I was young, I was exposed to it, you know, straight away. So I've been around it for a while. And like you said, when I'm in Fiji camp, Carver's always there, and rowers having Carver sessions, especially after games. nice. Like you said, it numbs your tongue, but also relaxes you.
Yeah.
Kind of actually works as an anti-inflammatory as well. So it's kind of good for the body as well. But yeah, and you also get a good sleep at night from it. So beautiful. It's kind of a positive thing as well.
Yeah.
nice.
Now, one of the, I suppose, the things I was looking forward to for 2024, Marcelo, was the return of Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. Like, I am so excited about, and I was excited watching him in the trials, and he just looked like he hadn't missed a beat. So give us a little bit of insight to what he's like behind the scenes, like what he's like with the playing group. I've heard he's just the ultimate professional when it comes to his training and his preparation.
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak highly enough of Rog. I mean, he obviously, like, he captained the club. He's won, you know, like, he won three consecutive Simon Mannering medals at the club when he was there, when he first came to the club. So, and obviously Dally M, so the accolades speak for itself. But I think what he's brought back to the club is just, I think he's come back knowing how hungry we are as a team and as a club. And he's just added to that. I mean, like you said, it's like his professionalism, what he does on the field, like, that's just, like, it's crazy to think that he's still moving the way he is at his age, and his body's in great nick. Like, he doesn't look out of, I guess, I mean, like, he doesn't look out of place where he is. And, mate, like, the way he moves, it rattles me at training to see, like, he breaks ankles at training. I'm just like, man, how's he moving like this? You know what I mean? And to come back from Union, like, Union's a different kind of game.
Yep.
And you know, Matty, like, it's probably as an OB or like, as a back, you don't have to be as fit, you know? Come back and transition back into league. And still bring, and like, especially with the way the game is now, like, the speed of the game, mate, he's just brought that back, and he hasn't missed a beat, like you boy said.
Yeah,
he's got the best triceps I've ever seen, Matty.
No, he's
best triceps.
Yeah.
His calves. His calves.
He's got it all. He's got it all. Let's not go any further. So, mate, I wanted to ask you. You're a Bulldogs junior, so you obviously grew up in the area. You know, you probably grew up supporting. Did you grow up supporting the Bulldogs?
So I
grew up supporting the Bulldogs. You play for the Bulldogs, and you left the Bulldogs after playing for them for 4 years, and you went over to the Warriors when they weren't the flavour of the month. They weren't the team that they are right now. Did you ever have any, was there moments when you thought, gee, I wish I was back at the Bulldogs, or has it been pretty smooth sailing since you've been there? Because I know over the last 12 months, it'd probably be a pretty easy place to play in New Zealand.
Yeah, for sure it is, and it's a great question. I mean, like you said, I spent a lot of time at the Bulldogs, and I obviously came up through the younger grades and stuff like that. But I went through a kind of tough phase there, and I went through a phase where I was still only young, and I probably, like, I debuted when I was 21, which isn't too young. I mean, like, there's some boys debuting now a bit younger, but I kind of came through, and I still had to kind of learn, like, a lot about myself as well. And I think at the time, I wasn't playing great footy at the Bulldogs. And when I was coming off contract, when they told me they weren't going to re-sign me, I wasn't surprised, because I probably wasn't putting my best foot forward in terms of, you know, like, asking for another contract. And I know we weren't doing good at the Bulldogs at the time. I know we were chasing, I guess, trying to stay off the bottom of the table. And that was tough in itself. So, mate, I went through a tough phase there where I wanted to give up footy. I wanted to stop playing footy. And kind of my wife said to me, well, you know, like, you got to understand what you bring as well. And I, you know, just kind of, like, good hard look at myself in the mirror. And then when the Warriors came up, I was kind of grateful, because no one had any offers for me on the table at the minute. Actually, Sharks offered me a one-year deal,
nice,
to be fair. And I was going to take it because, you know, my wife's from Cronulla. And then, obviously, that stuff happened with Johnny Morris, and that went down the drain. So, the Warriors kind of threw me a lifeline, you know. And I just wanted to kind of find my feet again. I wanted to go out there and prove to myself what I could bring. So, that was my main goal. And, mate, like, I can't thank the Warriors enough for what they've done for myself and my career and my family. It was tough, obviously, those few years being in COVID. Obviously, we lived in Terrigal and then Brizzy. But being back here now, mate, that decision was all worth it. Like, and at the start, it was always the right decision for me to leave the Bulldogs. Like, I needed to leave there. I needed to find my feet again and kind of realise who I was as a person. And I think coming to the Warriors has done that and helped me kind of form that person I am now.
Good
stuff, mate. It's good that you see that as a lifeline. You want to repay that, and you're certainly doing that, mate. But what I wanted to ask you as well was, Have you ever, like, I know we talked about hairstyles before and you having, you know, getting the fade and stuff, but I was going to talk about your weird partner in Dallin, Lytenny Zalesniak, and his amazing perm. I don't know if it's natural. It is beautiful, though. Have you considered growing your hair out? Because, I mean, he scored 24 tries last year in 20 games.
That's a great question.
So he could be like the Samson of rugby league. Like, he hasn't cut it off, has he?
Mate, it's a great question. That's all natural. And I mean, you got to see what he does after training to appreciate why it looks so good. Because, mate, he has a shower, he comes out, he puts his cream, puts his shampoo, his conditioner, and he puts the special spray in there for it to look, so nice and shiny. But yeah, look, Dow's just an absolute legend. And obviously last year, like everyone's seen, he had, and obviously, you know, getting that win of the year, which was well deserved.
Yeah.
Mate, I love putting that jersey on your team. But yeah, like you said, that hair, I might have to start growing it now.
So yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you look awesome. Going to ask you some questions now. As I've said to other guests before, a lot of players run away from these questions.
This is intense. Marcelo.
This is intense questioning. Okay, so get ready for it. Okay. If you had two tickets to the biggest event in the world, let's just say the Super Bowl, Marcelo Montoya gets two tickets. You have one and you can only take one other teammate. Who is it and why?
So I get two tickets and I can take another teammate.
Yeah.
Hopefully you boys don't get offended. I don't even watch the NFL, to be honest.
Okay.
But if I was to get two tickets and I was to go, two tickets, I'd love to go to the F1.
Yeah.
That was an F1, right?
Yep.
So say if it was the F1, the last race, and say it was like the deciding points for the championship driver. So say, for example, if it was Max Verstappen or Lewis Hamilton and that last race determined points.
Yep.
I like the person I probably take with me is Dallin, because he actually loves, like, we both love cars, and I think he'd appreciate it, because I'm the only one at the Warriors that kind of watches the F1, but I know he'd appreciate that.
Yeah. Nice. You outside back's got to stick together too.
Yeah, exactly.
I know that fraternity, 100%. Mate. You look after each other.
You wingers are a very special breed. Yeah. Okay. If you had to mute one teammate for 24 hours. You don't want to hear a word from them for 24 hours. Who is it?
I know this sounds a bit weird because he's our club captain, but it'll be Tui Harris. He's just a pest. Like everyone sees, like, he's an absolute legend. He's the leader of our club, mate. And he's a freak of a player. But to me, he just picks at me. Like, you know, every day at training. And he's in the middle and he looks at me taking the fish out there in the wing. So he's like, mate, this bloke here. So it'll be bangers. It'll be funny.
Nice.
Okay, who's the one teammate that could be a comedian?
The one teammate that could be a comedian? I reckon Lukey Metcalf. Only because, like, I know he loves, like, we both love Seinfeld. But I think he'd be the piss take. Like, everyone will take the piss out of him. So I think, I don't know if it's a comedian, but everyone would laugh about him. We'll laugh at him.
Nice.
You know?
Okay, last two. Best dancer. Could nominate
best
yourself.
Dancer, I reckon Sean Johnson. Shawnee can move. He can move really well. So, yeah, I'd say Shawnee.
Yeah. No, nice. Wasn't there one of the players last year that was doing like an aerobics pump class in the dressing shed? Wasn't there one of the... Who was that?
Was that
Pompey or
best dancer I played with was Clinton Torpy.
Oh, no, that was... That was Bunty.
He was leading. Too.
That was back... I think that was back in 2019. He was leading it. Yeah.
Okay, last one. Can you tell us your welcome to first grade moment? Now, when your first game and there might have been a run, a tackle, and you think, here I am. I'm finally here, and that's just made me realise that I'm with the big boys.
Whether you got belted or you scored.
Yeah, I reckon it wouldn't have been my first game, so not my debut, but it was probably my second game. I was taking a carry off the try line, and I didn't mind taking a carry. But, you know, like, sometimes you look up, and there's nowhere to run, and I looked up, and I think it was Jack Jabojevic, like, reverse Manly in my second game of NRL, and reverse Manly at Manly. And I looked up, I didn't look up, like, initially I just thought, just put your head down and just get folded and get up, you know. But I look up and I see Jakey coming out of the line and Marty Tapau, and I said, like, here we go. And Jakey just folded me. And I said, yeah, this is it. This is what it's about. So
yeah.
I reckon, my second game of NRL, but it's always good, those ones, man. You got to appreciate
stuff.
It.
Mate, mate, these forwards, they don't understand what we go through, Marcelo, when you've got that, when the fullback gets tackled on the sideline and you've got nowhere to go and they all just rev up on you. They don't have to take those tough carries, do they? It's just, it's up to us wingers.
Literally, yeah. Oh, I love it, brother. I love it.
Well, hey, thanks for taking time out to join us on Sports Day, mate.
Hey, Phyllis, thank you so much. It was an honour. Appreciate it.
More Off the Bench NRL soon. Subscribe to the podcast so you never miss a moment. Search Off the Bench NRL on iTunes or Spotify. Time for a racing update for Racing Queensland. Racing action continues every day across the Sunshine State. Check out racingqueensland.com.au for where Queensland is racing today.
Yeah, that's right. 7 days a week across the Sunshine State, and chances are you're about to lose, so gamble responsibly. Chrissy Nelson from Racing Queensland is on the line. How are you, Chris?
Going very well, thanks, Satch. Hopefully you are as well.
So I'm led to believe you're heading to the Suns versus Richmond game.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. Looking forward to that game. Hopefully Richmond can kick off the season with a win against the old coach, Damien Hardwick, who I respect greatly, and I certainly wouldn't be bagging him. He's a bit of a hero at Richmond, and anyone that wants to have a crack at him after three premierships needs to have their head read.
Yeah, exactly. So, what's on this weekend, Nelson? A busy weekend?
Well, yeah, the Gold Coast is where it's all happening on Saturday. Big meeting there at Aquas Park on the Gold Coast. We have the two dual races, one for the two-year-olds and one for the three-year-olds, both worth $500,000. And there's a really good support card too. There's another two or three feature races as well. So certainly all roads leading to that meeting at the Gold Coast on the turf track, of course, on Saturday. We also race at Ipswich, big fields there, and nine races at Ipswich on Saturday. Toowoomba in the Twilight Zone, they are the tab meetings. Away from there, it's a pretty full schedule when it comes to the non-tab meetings as well. Barcaldine, Esk, Mount Isa, Springshaw, and the Wandone Cup. Innisfail has been abandoned. That will not run Saturday. And then on Sunday, we head to the Sunshine Coast on the Poly Track, and that rounds out a really busy weekend of racing.
So this weekend, when it comes to tips, Chriso, where are you focusing on?
Well, we're going to head around the globe a little bit here. We're going to go to the Gold Coast first. We will go with race 3, number 4, Hell of a Deal. She's edged at Toowoomba. Ginny Orman jumps on Saturday, and she looks really nicely placed. Third run back from a break from a good barrier. So race 3, number 4, Hell of a Deal is where we're going locally. I've got another one, actually. Let's go with Chitty Boom also. Race 7, number 3, a bit shorter at the Gold Coast. Probably one of the best placed horses all day. Chitty Boom just resuming from a little let-up, trialled nicely at Rockhampton. So they're the two for the Goldie. Race 7, number 3, and race 3, number 4. Now, around the place, we'll go to Randwick. Race 8, the Group 1 Randwick Guineas. Number 3, Celestial Legend. I think can knock over the favourite Militarise. You get a better price, obviously, Celestial Legend. 1,400 metres first time last start was dominant. I think 1,600 metres will suit beautifully. So keen on him. Race 8, number 3, Celestial Legend.
Check out racingqueensland.com.au for where Queensland is racing today. Plenty going on across the weekend, so chances are you're about to lose. And if you want free and confidential support, visit their website, gamblinghelponline.org.au. Chrissy Nelson, talk to you next week. Have a great weekend.
You too, Sats. All the best.